Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions. We've got a great question from listener Diana. She's looking for suggestions to book fast passes for a princess-crazed two-year-old for a first time down at Walt Disney World. So we're going to give some suggestions coming up right away. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com. Hub of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone XS Max. Still hard to say. And I can see that we're down to just 35 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2019. That's right. This time next week, we'll be talking less than a month until the festivities kick off for Marathon Weekend. I get excited for this every time I check my phone for a text message, get a phone call, or post to social media, and you can do the same. You see great pictures, you can customize the color, the font, you can get daily alerts, audio alerts. It's a great app. Every fan needs to have this on their device. Turn that Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link during this holiday season. We appreciate that so very much. It's the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. It costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits, and we appreciate it. So please bookmark this site on all your devices. Anytime you need to do some shopping, just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Again, that's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1416 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We're so glad that you are checking in here midweek, mid-December, early December, I guess it still is. But it's the most wonderful time of the year, also the busiest time of the year. So don't forget, you can take the Be Our Guest podcast with you wherever you go. We're available on Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, all of your listening devices that are around your house. And yes, I did buy another one on Amazon on Black Friday because it was just such a good deal. We're going to have them every 15 feet in our house. We're going to have a dot everywhere just so I can yell and things happen. I love it. I'm so dumb, but that's what I do. And of course, we're available there. So we appreciate it when you subscribe to the show and listen when you can. All right. Today, of course, Wednesday listener questions. We're going to be answering those questions. The whole gang is back together. We are so excited for that. So joining me today from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Happy Wednesday, Ricky.
Happy Wednesday. And all I will say is Static Shock is a real thing and it can kill a computer. So.
Yes, and so if Ricky's a little bit low today, we're trying to make adjustments just because her computer got sent off to New Mexico, back to where she was from, to get fixed.
Actually, I went to Texas.
Or Texas.
Yeah, close enough. Yeah. Yes.
The American Southwest. It must have been a Dell, right?
No, it's
HP?
An HP.
HP.
HP is in Albuquerque, but I sent it to, which is where I talked to, but I sent it to Texas. So
all right, so let's all cross our fingers she gets computer back for next week.
Cross your fingers I get my computer back in one piece here soon.
That's right, we're running on the backup, the spare tire, as we call it, her work laptop. So we're gonna we're gonna do what we can. All right, you know about your work lessons. All right, also we have a new panelist here joining us tonight. We're so glad to have her. She's sitting in for Chef Todd now. So we're heading to the Keystone State, Pennsylvania. We have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less. Welcome back to the show, Pam.
I know it's been a while. It really has just been a while, but I've been working and researching and then sticking in some vacation time in there too. So it's all been good, but I'm so glad to be back. I'm so glad for the listeners who stopped me at different times during my travels. That was so awesome to get to meet different people. It was just a good trip. It was, you know, really good. And I'll talk about it on Friday and maybe we'll get some questions that make me share some of the knowledge that I've learned over the past. I don't know how long. I don't think I've been home in a long, long time.
No,
so anyway.
I don't think you have either.
My house is glad to see me too.
So.
It's kind of like moving, right? I mean, you come back home and it's like, man, I really like this house. It's like a vacation home.
Yeah, right? Absolutely true. I'm like, wow, look at this house. Look at all the stuff it has and exactly where I think it should be. So
let me ask you this before we get to the first question of the day. Dinner with John Stamos. You guys had the private table over at Brown Derby. How was that?
I wish. Actually, what's funny is, so John Stamos had done the Candlelight Processional a while back. He did a really short engagement. I think he filled in for someone else, and we saw him when he did that too. So then when we had the opportunity to see him again this time, it was just incredible. And if you've seen any of the little clips or had the opportunity to see the whole thing, he was great. He was so energetic and just did it. I always like the Candlelight Processional narrators who really make you feel like they're into it. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, I think that's something that's so interesting is that something to do with holidays and your spirituality, your religion, whatever, doesn't necessarily have to be a somber thing. Like, why is it cool to like go to a football game and like cheer or clap, but it's not okay to do that for like other things. I don't know. So anyways, it's kind of a weird stigma, but this was a cool thing. And I was just so glad to have the opportunity to see him again. So
that's awesome.
All right. Lucky dog. Yeah. I love Candlelight Processional, man. I haven't seen it in a few years. So it's, we'll talk about it on Friday. Right, we'll get into all the good stuff. All right. First question of the day. It's coming from Diana and Josh Baker. They say, hello, my family will be visiting Walt Disney World for the first time, February 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We've reserved a room at the Contemporary, and that is all the planning we have done. My daughter is 2, and we would like recommendations on the best parks and rides to get her on, as well as help with fast passes and reservations to character meals. Some of her favorites are Cinderella, Belle, Rapunzel, Minnie Mouse, probably all kids' favorite, she says. What are the rides you guys recommend fast passes for and rope drop? We're looking forward to hearing from you. Best regards, Diana and Josh. All right, so basically we have a 2-year-old, so a very young kid who obviously won't meet the height restrictions for some things, but they're looking for, you know, they're kind of, they've got a lot of stuff still to do, and we want to ensure that they have a good trip. So, Pam, when you hear this, when somebody's got kind of a blank slate, they're going down 1st of February now, so we're inside, I guess we are right about at the fast pass window right now, February 3rd. So we're inside that right now, so you need to get cracking. What would you do first for this family? A 2-year-old trying to meet some favorite princesses and have those experiences.
So it's so funny because we get this question so often, like, I have a baby, what can my child ride? And you'd be surprised. There's relatively few attractions at Walt Disney World that have a height requirement. There are so many attractions that you will be able to experience because guess what? There's no height requirement. So, I mean, of course, one of the other good things about having a young child is you don't necessarily have to do the fight for some of the most popular attractions that people are trying to get, right? Because you probably aren't going to want to do Seven Dwarfs or Flights of Passage or even Slinky Dog, which has all of those have height requirements, unless you do the baby swap, which is something I'll mention in a moment. But one of the things that I would think would be a great thing to do for children this age is to consider using some of those fast passes for the meet and greets. And you can do that at different parks. Look through the fast pass choices and see what you find. The other thing that I'm going to suggest is there are a few attractions that do appeal to guests of all ages that you'll want to do early. Peter Pan is a big one. You'll be able to, first of all, ride that attraction, all three of you together, which is a cool way to be able to experience that. But that is one that actually does have a lot of people wanting that fast pass. And then also over in Pandora, the Navi River ride, you're going to want to try and get a fast pass for that because that will have a long wait if you don't. And finally, over... you won't be able to do any of the Alien Swirling Saucers has a height requirement. So you won't have to fight for that one either. But you can do Toy Story Midway Mania. So maybe you want to get a fast pass for that. But definitely the other thing I would do is try to ease into some character interactions at home if you have the chance.
Good idea.
I know that Santa may not be the best representation of how your child will react to characters, because I guess Santa is scary. But maybe you have like a Chuck E. Cheese or something where there will be some kind of character and have the chance to do that. Because some kids are afraid of the characters. And if they are, one of the things you may want to consider is a character meal. But I would do one of the more low-key ones. Like maybe you don't want to jump right into Chef Mickey's because it's loud and you're whipping your napkin around and people are dancing and it's a lot. So maybe like the Rapunzel meal over, well, it's not Rapunzel specific, but she will be there over at Trattoria Al Forno. It's a little quieter. It's not so intense. And think about that. Our daughter, of course, no problems with characters.
No. From the very beginning,
she'd toddle right up to them and grab them and, you know, just think that like they were her friends automatically. But I know it can be intimidating for some kids. So
that doesn't sound like Hannah at all.
I know. Too funny.
So Jennifer in the chat saying, go meet your sports town's mascot. So you can meet Fred Bird if you're in St. Louis, or Truman the Tiger. That's a good one. I mean, they're kind of hard to get at, but that's a suggestion. I would also say don't discount Enchanted Tales with Belle, because that's kind of a combination of a meet and greet with a character. Also, it's an interactive story. I think for the younger crowd, like the toddlers, I think it's perfect because it is. I mean, you're in the story. They might get selected. They might not want to be selected, though, at that age. But, I mean, you got to kind of read your kid. But I think that's one that you're going to get awesome pictures. That's so underrated and so forgotten about. And it's one of Disney's best, most unique experiences. I love Enchanted Tales with Belle, but great suggestions there. Ricky, anything else you would say?
Go check out the Mouse for Less. We have a Fast Pass kind of guide for each park. And we do have it broken down as far as like attractions to consider if you're traveling with a family with little ones. So that might be something that you can go look at as well. And I agree with Pam about the character meals. Definitely choose some of the low key ones, the ones that maybe aren't as hard to get. I'm thinking like maybe Tusker House too, maybe a good option. Although the food, definitely for breakfast. I don't know about, you know, for lunch or dinner, but I think breakfast is a pretty safe one to go with. Who can say no to breakfast food? Or Hollywood and Vine as well, because that one has the Disney Junior characters for breakfast, and then for dinner it has Minnie and the gang dressed up in their holiday finest, depending on the holiday. So in the winter it's like a kind of an Oscar-y themed soiree, so I think they wear kind of like not ball gowns, but you know, dresses they'd wear to the Oscars. And then in the springtime, they have like spring dresses, summertime, they have summer outfits, that kind of thing. So, I think that those are some good options that are kind of a little more low key, but they have the characters too.
All right, great stuff. I hope you have a great trip. Contemporary is a great place to be. You're next door to the Magic Kingdom, walk right over, boom, you're in the Magic Kingdom. Love that. All right, next question is coming from Emily. She's an Ohio teacher looking forward to her first snow day. She says, come on, flurries. I get it, man. I remember that. Anytime it was like flurries in the forecast, like, please, God, let it change. Let it be 6 inches of snow at least. Come on, please, for the mercy. Anyway, she says, hello, BOGP crew. I'm planning a May/June trip to Disney. It's a surprise for my kindergartner and preschooler.
Fun.
All right. The one character meet and greet that we have to do is Buzz, Woody, and Jesse at Hollywood Studios. But where are they and what are their hours? I'm hoping to score a fast pass for either Saucers or Slinky, but I know we'd like to hit these guys up early to beat the crowds. Any advice, Emily? All right, Pam. So they are, is it still the same as it was this past summer where they are kind of out there in front of Toy Story, kind of in the, they're kind of set back on the left there as you enter the land? Is it, where are they and what story? Buzz, Woody, and Jesse. Where do you meet them in Toy Story Land?
Oh, Buzz, Woody, and Jesse. Yes. So as you walk in, we saw them meeting and greeting. Now, to the left, after you walked past Toy Story Midway Mania, they were kind of in it's not an alcove, but a little area right there on the left-hand side. And that's where they were meeting, which is kind of interesting because that can get congested in that space. So I was surprised that that's where it's happening. And also because right now what is happening is because they're building Galaxy's Edge and that's not open yet, you can't walk through the land and get out another way, which is so unlike any of the Disney parks. As you know, there are very few dead ends in a Disney park. It usually just keeps going around, right? Mm-hmm. You just keep walking and you come out a different entrance. Right now, that's not the case with Toy Story land because it's going to dead end right into Galaxy's Edge. In fact, you get a fantastic view of the construction when you're riding Slinky Dog. It's just kind of cool to look over and see all of that. So anyways, yeah, make sure that you go ahead and meet the folks from Toy Story. This holiday, they have a really cool cutout of Ham, and he looks like a Christmas cookie, and it is the cutest thing, and it's near that area too. But yeah, go and enjoy meeting those characters.
All right, let's get to the next question. It's from Brooke. It says, married to a Disney skeptic, help. She says, hello, and thanks for the great planning advice. I'm traveling to Disney World in February with my husband and twin 6-year-old daughters. He's a Disney skeptic. The dad you see in the park wearing a most expensive day ever t-shirt. Love those shirts. And is thus leaving all the planning up to me. We're spending 2 days at the Magic Kingdom and 1 day at each of the other parks. We have 6-day park tickets and plan to use the extra ticket in the middle of the week as our rest day in order to visit Animal Kingdom or Epcot for an additional half day. My question is this, which park should we pick? This is during Festival of the Arts, but not sure that makes it worth spending the extra time at Epcot. Alternatively, should we take a true rest day and stay out of the parks altogether? My FastPass booking date is quickly approaching, and I'm feeling the pressure of being solely responsible for trip plans. Brooke, 68 days and 1,282 miles away from the Magic Kingdom. All right, Ricky, so they're looking at, they've got kind of a good plan. She's a little nervous, but I mean, the thing is, as long as you have a general plan, you're going to be fine. But she's wanting to know, they got kind of an extra day. Should they take it totally off? Did she say where they're saying? Where they're staying? I'm scanning. I don't think she said where they're staying. But if you're on property, a day out of the parks with a week vacation is kind of a lot of fun, actually. But I kind of start to get, like, itchy. Like, I see people coming back. I hear the buses. I want to go. I always want to do the rest day in the middle of the trip. But then I get nervous and kind of go in the afternoon or night and go to a park. She's asking, what about Festival of the Arts? Does that make it worth going to Epcot? Should I stay out of the parks altogether? Well, what would you say in this kind of a situation?
Well, did she say that she was going to Epcot before?
Or? They are. They're going to Epcot 1 day, but she has kind of an extra day built in there where they could do like a half day or something.
Yeah. Okay. I missed that part. So, I mean, I haven't been to Festival of the Arts yet. It is kind of on my bucket list of things to do, like, this coming year. I'm trying to figure out when I can fit in a Festival of the Arts trip, so I'm still, like, looking at my calendar. But I hear it's fantastic, everything that I've seen from it. They have some really... Now, granted, I feel like this may be more for, like, us nerds who are going down, but they have, like, some really cool activities that you can do. Like, you can learn calligraphy, or you can learn flower design, or you can learn, cake decorating kind of things. Or, just they have, like, little classes that you can participate in. And I think, for the most part, they're free, actually. I think that they're free. I don't think there's a cost to them at this point. Now, I expect that will probably change as time goes on and these things become more popular. But, I think that that's really cool, but for someone who's maybe with someone who's not as much of a Disney fan as, we all are, maybe that rest day might be kind of a nice thing to have. That way they get a little relaxation time. You may consider going to, like, a water park for that day, although it is January, February, so it will kind of depend on, how the weather is that day. That might make a difference. But if the weather's nice, you might consider going to the water park that day, because I've definitely gone on colder days and there have not been people there, which is nice. Just hanging out at the resort, there's something to be said about that. So I might get the day ticket and maybe spend the evening in the parks, or you can even go to Disney Springs and, grab dinner there too or something like that. So I think that rest day may actually be very beneficial in this instance.
And with the dad being a Disney skeptic, I mean, you don't want to push him too hard too long.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if there's a day just to chill at your resort, and that's kind of what he, maybe wants a pool day, like. You said Brian used to enjoy that a lot, so or go to Disney Springs, or maybe go, I hate to say it, but you know, just do something or let them go play golf or, you know, go play mini golf with the family. You know, just don't do the standing in line thing maybe seven consecutive days if he's a skeptic, you know.
Absolutely. But otherwise. That's really probably key for that family.
All right, let's go to the chat room here. Natalie's got a question. She's watching us live here on Facebook, and you can join us on Monday nights around 5:30 Eastern if you want to be a part of the fun. She says, I can't seem to get an ADR for homecoming, with a big sad little face. What are your favorite restaurants at Disney Springs? Open to anything. Pam, I know this is right up your alley. I mean, shoot, if she could have slid a question in that's like a 10 out of 10 for you, it's Disney Springs and dining and favorite restaurants. So help Natalie out.
And there are some great spots there. There really are. And homecoming is challenging to get right now. It just is. It's on the list of hot things. Mike, where's your hot takes?
Hot. I've been doing it. You've been out of town, though. So there you go. Okay.
All right. Well, I've been missing it.
Yeah, there you go.
One of the things we do when we can't get homecoming is we actually arrive at the restaurant right when they open. And so you might want to try for that as well. I think it's 11 o'clock for lunch, but go ahead and check the hours, give them a call and see. And we've been able to do that to secure a reservation. But there's so many other great locations there. You may have heard us mention the Boathouse a couple times. It has great seafood, great steaks, great burgers.
Great bread. That bread. That bread is so good.
Lots of great things and great views of that area, too, especially if you sit outside, if you have great weather. That might be something you want to consider. There are also, there's paddlefish. Which Hannah and I did. Hannah and I were down there for a while by ourselves, and we actually ate on top of the roof. They have a roof where you can order food and drinks and see out over all of the great Disney Springs, and that area looks fantastic now, too. There is also Morimoto's if you're looking for something that's a little more fancy. And I consider Morimoto's to be in that category. The food is outstanding. Of course, it is the chef Morimoto. He's an Iron Chef. If you watch the Food Network, you'll know him from that. There's also Mario and Enzo's, which I think has great food, something different. There's also the Hideaway, Mario and Enzo's Hideaway down there. It's kind of a bar in that space. It's great, too. Raglan Road, of course, is a favorite that has been there for a long time and just does some great food there. There's also some great lounges like Jacques Lindsay. The name was escaping me for a minute. I'm like, how can the name escape me? There it is.
The Hangar.
Jacques, of course, the pilot from... Indiana Jones fame is there. And there's going to be a new restaurant too opening near Bongo's that will be opening soon. Wolfgang Puck Express actually I think is a great still counter service location and everyone's favorite Earl of Sandwich. There are no shortages of places to eat at Disney Springs. None. I mean, you can like throw a stone and hit 10, so you'll be fine.
And of course,
go ahead.
Wolfgang Puck has the new restaurant too.
That's right.
Bar and Grill. So if you know you're looking for something that's brand new, hot off the presses, that's going to be one of the places you can go to.
I was just about to say Mexican options. There's a Frontier Cochina. I forgot about that
of
place. I mean, there's so many.
It's
a podcast recording night. Podcast recording, Mexican food go together like a glove. Anyway, so yeah, and Alan says, keep trying for homecoming. You'll probably walk up and get a table for lunch. Not sure about dinner. However, Raglan Road was great. And he also offers up the Boathouse. Very good. All right, next question. It's actually about dining as well. It's an ADR for one and ethics. We're getting an ethics question. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Mike and ladies. I'm searching for ADRs for my solo trip in February, and I discovered different and sometimes better times available when I search for a party of two versus a party of one using my Disney experience. My question is this, is it ethical to make an ADR for a party of two because of a better reservation time and show up as at the restaurant as a party of one? I'm pretty sure Disney would still give me my table, but I feel a little dishonest about it. What do you think? Steve's up in Iowa City, Iowa. All right, Pams, this is a dilemma because, I mean, if you think about it, there are really no tables for one, right? I mean, everything's at least a double, right? I mean, what'd you do here?
I cannot think of a location where there's only a table.
I mean, I can't either. Like, I was trying to think of, like, where is there a table for one? And I don't. So I don't have a problem with this because I don't think they're missing out on anything. You're going to still be at a table for two. That's what I say.
That's what I'm thinking too. I mean, I don't have a big problem with it. I know that people sometimes do it for larger parties. That I kind of do have a problem with, just because those are tables that could be used by a larger party. But as far as a table for one, I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they even bother having a table for one. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So I say, we say go ahead. Maybe our morals are shady, though. I don't know. We need a ruling on this. But anyways, it seems fine to me.
Yeah, I would say go for it, you know, because, the whole thing is I try to look big picture. And I follow the rules. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Disney's got rules there for a reason. But, I mean, you're going to be at a table for two anyway. So I would say do it.
I agree.
All right, next. Next question, Garden Grill, ADR, and Soren from Sherry. Hey, BOGP crew, I leave for Walt Disney World next week and have only been able to get an 8:50 a.m. Garden Grill reservation. I've been checking for earlier but can't seem to snag anything. So do I. She's got three choices. A, check in at Garden Grill at 8:30, hoping to be seated and then eat quickly and go to Soren shortly after rope drop. B, try to ride Soren right at 9 and then go check in for my ADR late. Will they start the ride before 9? Or C, cancel my ADR and just rope drop Soarin'? And how are the lines at close for Slinky Dog? I'm wondering if I rope drop it or try to shut the park down and go then. Thanks so much. Love your feedback. Sherry's down in Dallas. All right, so here's the three options. Again, she's got 8:50 right now for Garden Grill. Does she check in early, try to eat quickly, go to rope drop for Soarin'? Let me give my advice. Try Soarin' at 9, go to the ADR late, or cancel my ADR. Soarin' is awesome. Don't get me wrong. Soarin' is a great ride, but I wouldn't go with A because I don't want you rushing through that meal. It's a good meal, great character interaction, lots of good pictures. I would not rush through it. I wouldn't go to your ADR late because if you go to Soarin' at 9, you're probably not going to be off the ride till 9:30. They might not seat you at that point. I mean, because you're so late at that point. You're not 10 minutes late. You're going to be at least 30 minutes late. And I wouldn't cancel it because it's a good meal. So I wouldn't do A, B, or C. But Pam, what do you say to this? I say Soarin' is a great ride, but you can probably ride it at 10 o'clock without too big of a wait after you eat and do both.
I think that's true as well. I really do. It just, since they have added the extra screen, it has made such a big difference in terms of that. And sometimes, here's my thinking on this. Sometimes the ride is busier right when park open it opens than it is like a half an hour, 45 minutes after it has been open. Now, I'm sure, you know, that may be not the case in every, in every situation, but in our case, we found that to be true a lot of times. So, go ahead and give that a shot. And, you know, I agree with Mike. I really feel the same way that he does on this. I think that you don't need to. As far as Slinky Dog, I think getting there at either rope drop or in the evening when the fireworks are going on is a great plan to try to reduce that wait if you aren't able to get a fast pass.
I would say, too, if you know, while you're having your meal at Garden Grill, if you decide to go this route, don't sweat the whole meal thinking about, oh, man, the line's getting longer, longer, longer for Soarin', because then you're not enjoying the moment. And that's, you know, it's not a cheap meal. It's not one of the most expensive, but it's not cheap and it's a great meal. So just, I think some people worry about what's next at the expense of what's now.
Live
and so
in the moment.
So just,
yes.
I know it's hard, but just, you know, enjoy the meal. Get to meet Mickey, Chip and Dale. Have the great food. It's great breakfast. And then, you know, Soren's going to be there. Maybe you wait an extra 10 minutes, but it's worth it. You're getting two great experiences. So I would say that. And so Ricky, thoughts, go ahead.
A lot of the wait time for Soren, I mean, even if you have a fast pass for Soren or whatever, like the majority of the wait time is actually once you get past the merge point of the fast pass and, you know, the standby line part. that wait takes forever. So like, and that I've seriously waited, you know, 15 plus minutes just in that spot. So, you know, an extra 10 minutes while you're waiting in line in the spot to merge is not that big of a deal, I don't think. And I actually have waited in line for Soarin' now a lot lately since they've added the extra, you know, the extra theater. And it's never been like super, super long. So it's usually around 30, max 45 minutes. And I don't even think I've waited, you know, the 45 minutes. I've definitely waited closer to the 30. So don't stress. Go to the breakfast. It's going to be awesome. And you're still going to get to ride Soarin' with not a huge, huge wait time.
All right, Scott Gardner in the chat. Some guy named Scott up in the Mitten, I believe. Just had the longest vacation ever, making me jealous all day, every day. Says, I like to rope drop for Slinky Dog. We weren't early and had a 40-minute wait on a busy day when it was posted at 80. So just a little advice there. Sometimes they bump up the posted wait times.
That's true, too.
All right, next is an after-hours question from Barbara. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, we're going to that other park in January. We thought it might be a good opportunity to get our Disney fix and do the extra or see after hours party at the Magic Kingdom. Two questions. One, if we take an Uber, should we get dropped off and picked up at the Contemporary, or can we get in near the Magic Kingdom buses? Number two, do we not need a park ticket in addition to the party? Correct. We'll be going as soon as we are allowed in. I believe it's 2 to 3 hours before the event starts. Keep up the good work. Barbara's up in Massachusetts. All right, so one, Pam, they're thinking about, you know, I guess they're staying over at Universal. They want to go get their Disney fix, though, at the after-hours party. Good call. How would you get in if you're not staying on site? Would you, I think that's a good strategy. Get dropped off the Contemporary by Uber, Lyft, something like that.
I agree. The one thing I will caution you about is when we were there this past weekend, there were specific times where we absolutely were not allowed onto any Magic Kingdom Resort parking lot unless we had a reservation. We saw, now I'm hoping that they would let Uber drop you off, but I can't guarantee that. I mean, they were very firm. The guy was extremely firm. So he was like, turn around. And I'm not talking about the Contemporary or the Polynesian and all, you know, or the Grand Floridian, although they were just as strict there. I'm like, the Wilderness Lodge. Wow. I'm like, dude, where are we going? We're going to park there and then take the boat for 20, you know what I mean? That would be a really roundabout way. So they were very stern about that. So in that case, you know, but unless you're going at a busy time, they typically will at least let you drop off. So, and that's where I would have them do it, at the Contemporary, and then you'll just walk over.
Yeah, it's best case. Worst case is get dropped off at the TTC and take the monorail or ferry over. That's
yep.
What I would do there. And that's probably what Disney would prefer, but that's not here nor there. And you only need the party ticket, right? You don't need a day's admission to go to to one of these hard ticket events. You can just show up, you know, as soon as they let you in, you're in, and you don't need an additional ticket. Good.
That's right.
All righty. Let's get to the next question. I just clicked on the wrong button here. So let's see here. Okay, this one's from Autumn. I booked a last-minute trip to the world 75 days out, arriving on New Year's Eve with my husband and twin 9-year-old girls. We have lots of twins here. We have dinner at Hoop-Dee-Doo at 4 o'clock, then we're headed to Epcot to ring in the new year. Epcot is my favorite park, and Mike has been going on and on about how fun New Year's Eve is at that park. So I just had to go see it for myself. You're going to love it. It's fun. It's a nut house. Mike had me a little nervous last week when you mentioned the incredibly long bathroom lines as well as the chaos exiting the park. Are there any tips or tricks to be best equipped to handle the crowds? Second question. We're staying at the Good Neighbor Hotels in Disney Springs, DoubleTree Suites. Should we leave through the International Gateway that night and get a lift from Beach Club back to our room? Absolutely love the show. My favorite episodes were the Trapped in Adventureland and Frontierland, and would love to hear more like that. Thanks, Autumn. Well, Autumn, you're going to get one of those. We love hearing feedback, so we'll do another Trapped in one of the lands. Those were fun. I forgot about those. We start a series and never end them, so there you go. So remember that, Ricky. We're going to do that. I got my show for next Friday, but maybe in a couple weeks. All right, so we've all done New Year's Eve at Epcot on New Year's Eve, and it's fun, man. It is, because they turn the countries into, like, clubs. 9-year-old girls will have a good time, too, because it's, like, family-friendly, like, dancing and dragons shooting fire out of their mouths, and it is chaos, though. It's controlled chaos, but it is a nut house. But it's so fun. I mean, and you can't beat the fireworks. It's like, I don't even know how to do this. You got it. When you go there, you'll have a huge smile on your face, but you'll be like, this is just nuts. This is just absolute craziness, but it's awesome at the same time. So throw them a little advice. They're trying to get out of the park. They're also trying to get some tips for enjoying it with all the with the rest of the world that's in World Showcase and Future World. So Pam, what do you say from being there many times? They'll have Ricky give her thoughts.
So it is going to be busy. You know, one of the things that will be a challenge for you in terms of getting Uber or Lyft to take you back to your resort is there is absolutely going to be surge pricing.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to be challenging for the drivers to navigate their way through it, through those areas, because
it'll be challenging for them to get to you,
yes.
too.
Oh, yes.
Everything's a challenge at night.
They totally reroute the way that one typically drives in that space. They close off turning lanes. They make you go straight when you want to turn. They do all kinds of things like that. So just keep that in mind. If your resort offers transportation, you may want to try and take that transportation if you can. I don't, there's a lot of those resorts that say that they have transportation, and then when you find the actual schedule, it's like the bus, it's not as good as being on Disney property. I'm not saying you're not going to have a great time. I'm just giving you kind of a realistic picture of how this may go. So what you may want to do is just kind of hang out for a while. Typically, Epcot stays open, I think, an hour after the midnight fireworks. I would use up every moment of that hour and then find an excuse to take a slow walk around the World Showcase and kind of let things die down, and then try to get your transportation home. I think that is going to be one of the best bets that you can do. It is controlled chaos. It is so much fun, and you're going to have a great time. I mean, I have no doubt about that.
And I would say, you know, just personally what I would do if I was staying, you know, in the Disney Springs hotels, I would stay as late as I can. Like Pam said, I would still go out the International Gateway to one of the resorts and catch an Uber or Lyft. At that point, you're going to pay. You would pay for a helicopter to come get you. You don't care. Like you'd pay $500. I'm just telling you, it's realistic. Like I would have taken up a pool to get a helicopter on New Year's Eve to get out of there because it's a nut house. Leaving is horrible. But at least you're in a car and you're sitting down and you have control of like the temperature of the car. I don't know. That's what I would do. Because it's probably going to take you about the same amount of time probably to get back in a Lyft, Uber, or your bus. But that's what I would do. And as far as like, you got the 2 9-year-old girls, just bring snacks or something like that. Because if you want to eat anything, anything, like I stood in line for like an hour and a half just to get the Chinese food at the quick service the 1 year. Now that was a few years back, but that was the shortest line I could find. I didn't want Chinese food. I was just hungry. And that was really, it was like survival. So, you know, bring snacks and stuff like that, but it's a good time. I mean, just, you got to kind of go with the flow, line up for the fireworks an hour and a half early, maybe bring games. We did that last year, you know, like the heads up game on the phone or, you know, what have you, little travel games just to kill time. Cause you are going to be sitting a little while, but it's worth it in the end for the fireworks. So Ricky, thoughts on that, or go ahead, Pam.
I was just going to say, try to make, an ADR for
dinner. 100%. Yes. Around six or so, 5 or 6.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so. That saved us because we were in there during the, you know, say from 5 to 7 in Teppanito is what we did. No, so well. Ricky, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that they're probably going to have to take an Uber or a Lyft to get, or a cab or whatever to get out, because since they're staying at one of those resorts that are the Disney Springs resorts, I can't guarantee how well that bus is going to run on New Year's Eve at you know, for those resorts, because they really do only have specific pickup times and things like that. So I don't even know if they're going to be running buses that late, to be perfectly honest.
True.
If that's something you want to consider, I would at least ask at the front desk to see if they'd be running a bus, but if they're not, then you're definitely going to have to go that Uber, Lyft, you know, taxi cab route. So I would definitely kind of relax and let the rest of the crowd kind of escape for that last hour, because yeah, the park is open until 1 o'clock in the morning, and then head out after that, because, you know, like Pam said, take the leisurely stroll and head out that way, because I can't guarantee that they will even be running the buses. for one of those resorts. And if they are, there will be one bus, and that's it. And if you miss it, you miss it.
That's true. That's a good point. All right, last question of the day is coming from Jadina. I believe she's over in the UK. I got a ticket to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party for my birthday, December 13th. Should I buy a ticket to Tony's Most Merriest Town Square for the party within the party? It's an extra $99 plus tax. Pam, what are your thoughts on this? Because again, you know, it sounds like it's really cool and there's lots of perks to it, but you're paying a premium to get to the Christmas party and you're paying a premium to have an experience within a hard ticket event. I don't know. I have a hard time going for this, but from what I've seen of it, it's really cool. I mean, if you really, it's kind of like an ultimate kind of experience, I think, for Christmas. What do you think?
I think it is. And I think the other thing that you want to think about is how important is it for you to have a good seat to see the parade? If this is something that you're really looking forward to, then this is another reason to consider it, because you do get that premium seating for the parade. Now, our friends the Yerkes did this, Mark and Michelle and I, we ran into them one day, and they were telling us about the experience, and they said the food was good and that they had great seating for it. So I think the thing that makes this party unique is not only that you get, or this dinner, not only do you get the dinner, but it's something that you can come and go for at the Magic Kingdom. It's not like you have to sit down, you eat your meal, and then you move on, which is what most of these dinner packages are. This is one that sort of, Tony's is sort of your place to come and go as you like during that party time. And I think that's kind of a cool concept. There are appetizers, there's main courses, there's desserts. They said that, the Yerkes said that they had gone and eaten and then went back and had their dessert. Not only that, it's open for an additional half an hour after the party is done.
Yeah.
So you have a great big chunk of time that you can come and go from there. We waited quite a while to see the parade, and this was even for the second parade, and it was a few people deep. We were sitting on the curb, but my goodness, by the time the parade came, I guess I'm showing my age a little bit. I am like, oh my gosh,
it's past my bedtime.
Sit on this curb any longer. It's so uncomfortable.
Yes.
And then once we got up, we stood up. None of us could walk. No, it's just it's a hard thing to do. I mean, sitting on the curb for an hour and a half, 2 hours is a long chunk of time. So, I mean, that's something to think about, too. So all those things for me would be something that those are things that I would, you know, consider when making my decision on this one.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's Listener Question Shows. Thank you so much for checking in. Hopefully we took you down to Walt Disney World, maybe answered a few of the questions you might have. And if you have a question for the show, send those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com and we'll get to those right away. Today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. And Ricky, what are we reading about this week on Theme Park News Disney Edition on our Apple devices?
Well, we are reading about the information that the new Grand Destino Tower is now available for reservations. So you can now book if you'd like to stay in the tower.
I'm mine.
I do too.
There you go.
Oh, I want to stay there.
You also are. We also learned that the two new restaurants that are going to be added to the resort now are going to be the Three Bridges Bar and Grill, which will be located on an island in the middle of the resort's Lago Dorado, which is the lake there, and then the rooftop table service restaurant. Oh, try saying that five times fast. Is going to be called Toledo's Tapas Steak and Seafood. I am sure it will just be known as Toledo as we move forward. That's going to have a beautiful view of Walt Disney World, as well as indoor dining and a lounge with indoor and outdoor seating. So we know more information about more food. Hooray!
Yes, and Coronado is going to be awesome. I can't wait. So check out this great news every morning, every night, you know, when you're checking in over your lunch break. It's just a great app to have on your phone. So check it out. It's Theme Park News Disney Edition. These and other great apps turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike. We've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/ Be Our Guest podcast. And again, thanks to everybody who continues to support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It really does help support everything we do. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Bookmark it on all your devices today. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday, where Pam's going to tell us about some of the highlights of her time down at Walt Disney World here last week. Holiday season, lots going on, and can't wait to hear all about it because I still haven't even heard. So I've just been following along on Find My Friends and watching pictures and Instagram and stuff. Let's hear the news.
Kind of jealous.
It's actually jealousy. I just wanted to be there and I couldn't. So, all right, we're going to hear about it on Friday. So hope you'll come back with us. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.